Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time." Welcome to Through the Bible, where today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us that this statement is true, especially for Christians. They can be fooled into believing in a cult or an ism, but not forever. If they truly are a child of God, one day they'll wake up and recognize the voice of their shepherd and realize that they've been fooled. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as you climb aboard the Bible bus and get ready for our study today in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I'll share a quick message that Dr. McGee recorded about 30 years ago on New Year's Day. You'll see that the concerns Dr. McGee expresses about the difficult days that are coming are some of the same concerns that we have today. Let's listen now.
There's fear and foreboding in the world just now. Most pundits hold out little hope for a bright new year. Never has the future offered so little hope. They say the political situation is not good. Nation is rising against nation. There are 40 wars that are currently in progress, and others could break out at any moment. This is an awesome situation and an awesome day in which to live. The economic situation is even worse. Starvation stalks the land. Every land, even in our country, there are many on the verge of starvation. Crime and terrorism has made man the most dangerous animal on the earth. Ignorance abounds on every hand. Education has become a propaganda machine. Humanism and hedonism are the philosophy of the many. We could reasonably expect, I think, that the religious field would present a brighter picture. Far from it. This is the darkest area of all. Never has the church had so many buildings spread over so much real estate with so many people doing so many things. What's happening? The crowds come and go to church like spiritual zombies. No change takes place. There's no weeping at the altars. There's laughter in the sanctuary. There's no spiritual fire. It's all sham and show and jingle bells. The Word of God is ignored, and somehow Jesus is not heard. He certainly has lost his self-esteem, and the acid rain of psycho-religion falls over the conservative church, bringing easy solutions to hard problems. Only it doesn't seem to work that way. But where are the born-again converts? There's no repentance, no confession of sin, no turning to Christ, no joy of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the hope for the future and we can completely put our lives in your capable hands. Bless the teaching of your word today. Help us to hear your voice in these words that are spoken and see the face of Jesus in all that we study today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now as we begin the 10th chapter, I'm reading, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, very frankly, this is a very remarkable statement our Lord is making. You see what had happened in the last chapter. This man, born blind, had been excommunicated. He'd been put out of the temple and put out from the worship of God in the temple. And they now have challenged the Lord Jesus, and they actually are rejecting him. And he made it very clear that they had rejected him. And they asked him the question, "Are we blind also?" He made it very clear that they were blind. Now, he puts forth, actually, his credentials here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." Now, we need to notice very carefully what he means by the sheepfold. The sheepfold is the nation Israel.
And what he's saying to them is that he came in by the door. Because he goes on to say, but if he doesn't enter by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, this is a tremendous claim that he's making here, and it's this. Israel is the sheepfold. He came in by the door. Others have had to climb over some other way. What does he mean? He came in by the door into the sheepfold. Well, he came in legally. He came in fulfillment of prophecy of the Old Testament, and he came in a very orderly manner. Now, you'll notice that he was born under the law in the fullness of time. Paul says in Galatians, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, he came in according to the Mosaic law. And you find out that when he was 8 days old, they took him to the temple. All of that was fulfilled, as we saw back in the Gospel of Luke, that this was a fulfillment of that which made him born according to the law. But not only that, he came in the line of David, according to prophecy. He was born at Bethlehem, according to prophecy. He was not only in the line of David, but he was born of a virgin. And by this time, he was a stem out of Jesse. It could say David, but didn't. Isaiah said, a stem shall come out of Jesse. Because you see, when the Lord Jesus was born, the line of David had dropped back to the level of peasant. Jesse was a farmer down in Bethlehem, raised sheep, by the way. And David was the king. His son had the anointing oil poured on him. Now the kingly line. Now the Lord Jesus is born in the line of David. But by the time he came, he's a stem out of Jesse. He was a carpenter, wore carpenter's robe. But all of this is in fulfillment of prophecy. He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he came in by the door. He was the Messiah. And he came in by the door. And the one that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, anybody else would have to come over the fence some other way. No one else could have fulfilled prophecy as he did. No one else could have the credentials that he did, because he said that the works that I perform, they testify to him. And a little later on, he made that very clear to them. He says in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, what are the works? What's the proof? He's born in the line of David, according to prophecy. He was introduced by John the Baptist. His teaching, his life, and his miracles all bore a testimony to the fact that he had come in by the door. What he's trying to say, they are classifying him as a thief and a robber who comes over the fence. And he makes it very clear that he's come in through the door, and that anyone else that comes in will have to come in over the fence. This is a very strong claim, as you can see. Now he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, he's making it very clear here what he's doing. He says, the porter has opened the door. Who's the porter? The Holy Spirit, if you please. The Spirit of God came upon him, and everything he did by the power of the Spirit of God. To him, the porter opened it. Now, he says, the sheep hear his voice. What he says is, I have come into the sheepfold of Israel. And I have called my sheep, and they have heard me. They've responded. Now, in the last chapter, it was, you see, these religious leaders, they're blind. They said, are we blind also? He said, you sure are. You're more blind than this man, because he's had his eyes open, both physically and spiritually. But now, not only that, they don't even hear his voice. They not only can't see, they can't hear. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And I love that. You see, when he came, he called Simon Peter, and he said to him, your name is Cephas. I'm going to change that to a stone. I'm going to call you Peter, which means you're a stone man. That's the kind of man you're going to be. And he said to these men, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they followed him. And we're told many believed on him. He called his sheep, and his sheep responded, and he calls them by name. Now, let me just intrude with this thought. I believe that when the Lord Jesus calls his own out of the world at the time of the rapture, the dead in Christ will be raised, and also the living will be caught up to meet him. I believe that that shout will have in it every man's name. I think I'll hear him say personally, Vernon, Vernon McGee. That'll be wonderful. He knows my name. You see, and he'll call me at that time, and he'll call you, and you'll hear your name. Remember it says in Revelation that his voice was like the sound of running water. Now, have you ever listened to running water? I don't mean in the bathroom. I mean out in the country at a waterfall. I remember the first time that I went to Yosemite, and I hope you won't think that there's something wrong with me when I tell you this, because I don't think that there is. But I went up to Yosemite Falls to take pictures, and I was intent on getting pictures. And I got them and started walking back. And I kept thinking I heard somebody call me by name. And I looked around. I stopped two or three times. It sounded like. And you know, all of a sudden it came to me, his voice is like the sound of running water. And I heard my name. I wonder if you've ever had that experience. If not, you test it out, because if no one else has had this experience, I better do a little investigating, because it's a very peculiar thing. But I believe that we'll hear his voice. I think that's what he's saying here. Now, he not only calls his own sheep by name, he leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, again, this is something very important for us to see, and that is the sheepfold of that day. I spent some time looking over a sheepfold near Bethlehem, and that sheepfold is still being used today. Now, a sheepfold was where shepherds came and put their sheep in by night. Then the porter had charge of it, and then shepherds would go somewhere. If there was an inn there, they'd go and spend the night there. Then they'd come out the next day, and their sheep's all mixed up with somebody else's sheep. And there's no brand in that day, no marking on the sheep. So how did they get their own sheep? They called them by name. And what would happen? A shepherd would come out of a morning. He'd come down to the fold, identify himself to the porter that was there. But the sheep didn't have to have him identified. They knew him. That is his sheep. And so he'd start out over the hill or down the branch that was there, and what would happen? His own sheep would come out of the fold and follow him. They knew him, and they didn't drive sheep in that day. They led their sheep. He says, my sheep, they follow him, and they know his voice, that is, of the shepherd. Now, he goes on to say, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, today, a great many people are all worked up because of the cults and isms and the confusion that there is. And I agree with that. And I'll admit, at times, it disturbs me. But I like to come back to a passage like this. The thing that he says here, that his sheep hear his voice, and they know him, and that a stranger they'll not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, I believe that you can fool some of God's people some of the time, but I don't think you can fool even some of God's people all the time. I think that they get wise to this. I think I shared a letter with you from someone who'd been in every cult that was imaginable. I didn't read the list. I'm not permitted to on the radio. But very candidly, there was at least a half a dozen different cults and isms this party's been in. Then one time they hear the Word of God taught. And what happens? They hear His voice. And you know, they happen to be one of the sheep. And so these folk, when they heard the shepherd's voice, they followed Him. Now, they thought they heard Him before, but they didn't. And they knew that. They know their shepherd. It's amazing. That's one of the reasons I love to teach the Word of God, because it binds to you all of God's children. Now, I've had the experience of being a pastor for about 40 years. And I've taught the Word of God everywhere I've been. And that's all I claim to. Someone called me on the phone and wanted to give me credit for other things. They wanted to list me in some sort of a brochure that's been gotten out, and they wanted to call me an author and everything else. Now, all of that was good, by the way. But I told them, no, I said, all I do is just teach the Word. Just teach the Word of God. And I found out after all these years that His sheep hear His voice. They'll follow Him. The others, I worried about them for a long time, but I got so, I don't mean to be hardball, but I don't worry about them. They don't hear His voice, and the reason they don't hear His voice, they're not His sheep. His sheep hear His voice. Oh, say, this is precious, friends, and it's quite wonderful, and it draws you to those people. It's so wonderful to get a letter from somebody. I got a letter from a professor in a university, state university back east. He said, I started listening to you, and I thought, because of your accent, you're a screamer. And he said, I kept listening, and first thing I knew, you were giving out the Word of God. And then he said, I began to listen. And now he supports the program. He said, say, this is it. Well, may I say to you, I've found that to be true. His sheep know His voice. They'll follow Him. Now, will you notice what he says here? Verse 6, he says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, and they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. Now, I said at the beginning there were no parables in John's gospel. And I'm of the opinion somebody that's listening in today will recall that, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, you made a mistake. No, I didn't. This, frankly, is an unfortunate translation, because this is not the word parabole for parable. This is paroimia, and really means a metaphor, or we would say today an allegory. And our Lord didn't give in the Gospel of John, He did not give any parables. He actually gave an allegory, and there's quite a difference. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. You see, those are metaphors that He used. They were not parables. They were actualities. And it was just a figure of speech to let me know something about God and to let you know something about God. And that's why He did this. It was to throw light on the subject. But if you are blind, as these men were, they wouldn't see it, of course, at all. Let me put it like that. This allegory spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. You see, He said in the 13th of Matthew, you remember, He says, let him that hath ears to hear, hear. But He says that it's quite possible to have ears and you won't hear a thing. And a lot of people got ears, but they don't hear. This is the Word of God. That's the important thing. How do you hear it? Do you hear it as the Word of God? And our Lord was quoting Isaiah when He said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and ye shall see and shall not perceive. You see physically, but you don't really see it. You don't understand it. That's the thing that He's saying unto them. Now will you notice as we move on here, then said Jesus unto them again. Now He'll give them another allegory. Listen to this. I'm the door of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. Now He's moved in. He talked about the door into the sheepfold. Do you see what He's saying now? He says, not only did I come in through the door, but now I am the door. And in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, He's going to say, I'm the genuine vine. That before the vine was Israel, but now it's not a relationship to a nation or a religion, but it's a relationship to Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. So here He says, I'm the door of the sheep. That is, if you're going to come in now to the fold. Why, the fold is not just the nation Israel. The fold now will be where his sheep are brought in, and he'll make that clear just a little later. Now, will you notice, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. That's a great comfort to know today that though we have these cults and isms, God's sheep just won't permanently follow that. One day they're going to get out of it. And I've observed that over the years. They may get in a cult, but they sure will get out of a cult. And I've seen multitudes of people that have done that. And that the sheep won't hear them permanently. They just won't stick by it at all. They know that they're not listening to the voice of the shepherd at all. Now he moves around and uses another figure of speech here. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Did you know that this was the verse of scripture that John Hancock was brought to Christ by the use of it? That is, one night, John Witherspoon, one of the great preachers of the 13 original colonies, he was one that signed the Declaration of Independence, and it was his speech that caused John Hancock to say, hand me the document, I'll sign it, and he signed it first. And that's the reason we say today, put your John Hancock right down here. That means you sign it. He went one night to hear John Witherspoon preach, and he took as his text this verse. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so on the way home that night, John Hancock was meditating on this text. As he thought about it, he says, I've always thought John Witherspoon was a very intelligent man. But said, tonight is ridiculous. How can anybody be a door? And how can you go in the door? Well, he arrived home and he had a big bunch of keys, and he put the key in the door, and he pushed the door open and stepped in, and then from the hallway into that great living room. And when he did, he'd come out of the darkness into the light of his home. And when he stepped inside there, having opened the door, he said, now I see. And the family that was sitting there, they all began to laugh. They said, sure you see. You out in the dark. Now you've come in where you like. Oh, he says, you don't understand. He says, you know, Jesus is the door. And I never saw that before. And the key is faith. And just as I opened that door with the key that I had, and I came in out of darkness and the light, I've done that now. I see that Jesus is my Savior, and I'll accept him. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. But the thief cometh not, but for to steal and kill and to destroy. And listen to him now. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, friends, I think the test of a church or an organization or a radio program, and it's the test of this one, is somebody getting rich out of it. Is somebody living, using again a common colloquialism, living high on the hog. That's the reason that I urge all people that come to Southern California, all of our listeners, come by and see our headquarters. We're delighted with it, and we're proud of it in the right sort of way, I hope. But you will find we're not living in lush quarters. They're comfortable, they're adequate, but they're not lush. And I want people to know that, because you see today there are a lot of religious organizations. May I say, that's the test. The Lord Jesus said, the thief, he cometh not but to steal, to kill, destroy. He doesn't come to help people. But he says, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful?
What a great invitation our Lord makes to each one of us. If you'd like to know more about the abundant life we heard about today, visit ttb.org and download Dr. McGee's free booklet, Living the Christian Life God's Way. It's just one of many resources that we've collected at ttb.org to help you understand and apply God's Word in a new and deeper way. And if you've missed a message in the series, or you want to listen again, you'll also find today's message and every message in this series on John available to you at ttb.org. Tomorrow, the Bible Bus rolls along in our 5-year journey of God's Word. I hope that you'll join us. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.